Just a brief thought in Psalm 45.
In Psalm 45, verse 7, Thou hast loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy companions. Just this verse. We have read in Philippians 2 this afternoon how God has highly exalted, super exalted him. And there we have seen the one who humbled himself, he was super exalted. Now here we see what went on at the same time. The Lord Jesus came into a scene, was created by God. He is the great creator. It was created for the glory of God. In this scene, through man's fall, through the rebellion of the enemy, there was a scene marked by unrighteousness. Everything was organized by the enemy against God's rights. He did not want to acknowledge God's rights. And he had taken hold of the whole human race and the whole earth, world was really under that realm. And we read in Hebrews 2 that he rules through the fear of death. Now, in contrast to what the enemy has done, we see here the Lord in his coming. He came, we read in Psalm 40, I come to do thy will, O God. And in your law is written in my inward part. So he came with this intention to maintain God's rights. And it was not just a matter of enforcing. It was a matter that he loved God's rights. He was one who came for that very purpose, to do God's will. In Hebrews 10, through this will we have been sanctified. That shows the result of this. But here we see what he did. He loved righteousness. And to what extent he loved righteousness? That he was willing to lay down his life. He could say in John 10, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. And then he says also that he had power from the Father to, he had that commandment. He had power to lay down his life. He had power to take it back in resurrection. And it was a commandment of the Father. You can read it in John 10. That shows how far he would go to save the sheep, to get the sheep. He's the good shepherd who gave himself. Now here, we don't see that in this verse that I read, but I just make that connection. The extent of God, of the Lord's love, was that he was willing to go so far as laying down his life so that God's rights would be honored. In a scene where God's rights had been dishonored. And I want to make an application now just for us. We are still in a scene where God's rights are rejected. And we may follow the Lord's example now as his disciples to be on that line of God's rights. We referred earlier this day to 2 Timothy 2, a vessel fit for the master's use. And in that chapter you see also much about righteousness. It is a matter of acknowledging and maintaining his rights. And we follow in that sense the example of the Lord Jesus. He loved God's rights. He loved righteousness. He came to do God's will. And he hated wickedness. Of course, that is included in that. You cannot have it two ways. So with the Lord, it is very clear. He is very devoted to God's will, very committed. There was no deviation whatsoever. the result, therefore God, thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy companions. Just this thought, thy God, he is addressed, therefore God, thy God. So there we have already this mystery that we were talking about earlier, the mystery of his person. The Lord Jesus is addressed here, God. And then it says, thy God has anointed thee. How can that be? See, in Hebrews it's more explained. I don't want to take too much time, so you can check that in Hebrews. But in Hebrews it is really made clear that the Lord Jesus is seen as the Son of God, but he is also man. And as man now in heaven, and that's what we had this afternoon, God has anointed him. God anointed him on this earth after the baptism of John the Baptist, and then the Holy Spirit came and he was anointed. But now the Lord Jesus is in glory. He finished his work. He loved righteousness. He laid down his life to maintain God's rights. No compromise whatsoever. And now God has honored him and God has seated him at his right hand. Hebrews 1 says that he ascended. I said with my own words, but he sat down. That means he could ascend. He could sit down in his power because he's God, blessed over all. At the same time, it is true that the Lord Jesus was made to come up by God. He was made to sit down. It's not a contradiction. Both is true. And so here we see then, he was anointed with the oil of gladness. Can you imagine the gladness? The Lord has finished the race. He has accomplished the work. And he's there now seated at God's right hand. You cannot really fathom the greatness of his joy. Hebrews 12 says it was because of the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross, that all those sufferings, he took them. But now he entered that joy. The joy was set before him, and now he entered the joy. And he, this way he brings many sons to glory, Hebrews 2. And so this is a wonderful fact that he has now been anointed with the oil of gladness. God rejoices in the Lord Jesus. The Lord has entered into his joy. He has achieved what he had purposed. And now God has anointed him with oil of gladness above his companions. What does that mean? He has companions. Who is that? That's you and me. In Psalm 22 you have a hint of that. After his resurrection, here you have this confirmed. He has companions. And we, beloved, we rejoice in the results of this work. We rejoice now in his joy. We have been anointed. He has been anointed. But there are effects, ripple effects, if you may call them. We have been partakers of this. We are his companions. You cannot get closer to that, to that glory, than we are. And so we have this tremendous privilege to be associated with him in his glory. And now on this earth where we are, the scene of his rejection, we may follow his path of commitment. We may love righteousness. We may love God's rights. There are believers who maintain the Lord's rights and they pay the price of their own lives for that. It's not that we need to add something to the work that the Lord has accomplished. Far be the thought. But it is that we may follow this path, may follow this commitment, and love God's rights even to the point that we would be willing to give our lives. 1 John 4, I think, says that this is love, that we will be willing to lay down love for the brethren, that we will be willing to lay down our lives. And so this is what God expects from us now, that we would follow the Lord's example in this path of righteousness, even to the expense of ourselves, that we would give ourselves completely, so that God's rights would be maintained in a scene of wickedness where we are. May the Lord help us to follow the Lord Jesus with this commitment. May we learn from him, from his commitment. We are still in a world where he is rejected, but we are at the side of the overcomer. We are at the good side, you know. Yes, we are on the scene of his rejection, but we are at his side of this overcomer, of the great victor. So how privileged we are. Now, in the meantime, we may share this path of rejection with him. He is rejected, and we may follow his path of rejection even now until he will come, perhaps today. We often say that, and even today we had a comment on that. The Lord may come today. Are we ready? Is there something that still needs to be worked out? Because he wants us to be on the line of righteousness and love righteousness, even in this scene, until he comes. When he comes, we cannot change anything. We cannot correct anything. We cannot confess anything. It's all done. But maybe be on this line of loving his rights until he comes. Amen.